KPFT car to make your donation. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Technology Bites.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome,
welcome
to Technology Bites. Hello. Hello. I'm Jay Lee. Yeah. Mm. Nice. You're kind of hoping that eventually he'll just show up?
I'm Peter Hughes.
That wasn't my fault. I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
The perfect show. All right, so we're glad you could tune in this final episode of Technology Bites before the fundraising episodes begin in earnest next week.
Or as we like to call them, the Hunger Games.
Yes, so we're very excited to be going into fundraising mode, and by excited I mean I quit. So
you heard it here first.
All right, so visit us online at www. What is different about you, Barrett?
I need to borrow a power cord for the laptop that I also need to borrow.
Oh, is it because you don't have a laptop?
I have no
of
technology, and I've got nothing on me. I'm naked in here.
And a broken phone.
Naked. I know. I've got a
fresh
shattered view on the world.
Well, visit us online at geekradio.com. You can look at old pictures of Barrett with a computer in front of him on the website. You can also hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com. Channel is Tech Bites. If you have your own IRC client, feel free to fire that up and join irc.cuckoo.com and then jump into channel Tech Bites. If you do not know your IRCs, but you're IRC curious, IR Curious. You can use R IRC client at geekradio.com and jump at the channel that way. It is the show within a show. You're invited to participate. You don't really have to behave that much. It is not regulated by the same things that we're regulated by on the air.
The FCC is not there, just the NSA.
Just the NSA, IRC.
You're not bots. Going to be fined. You're just going to be categorized. And
or kick banned.
Made fun of.
Yes.
Trout slapped.
I don't know if I got trout slapping ability in here or not.
Yeah, you do.
I do? Is it always just built in?
It's within you.
It was within you all along, Jay.
Father, the yellow fish road. All right,
my father had it. I have it.
My sister has it?
Smack.
My father killed 30 children with his lightsaber.
Tri-saber.
All right, so we're glad you could tune in. That's the website, that's the IRC, the moping about the fundraising, we got all of that out of the way. Lee
lack
is
of a
back.
Laptop. Lee's back, though.
I'm back!
He brought you a laptop.
I did!
Oh, this is so lovely.
It's my
Pete's
laptop.
Remote, though. We lost Pete's in the can again.
Yeah, Pete's in the can.
He disembodied
voice. He was going to come out here and be with us tonight so that he could feel better about not being here during fundraiser. But the weather kept him back in San Antonio. There was a big red cell on top of San Antonio.
It was. I saw it.
Now, will they cancel the fundraiser if it rains?
Please let it rain.
No, they'll extend it, I'm sure.
It grows. Water makes the fundraiser grow. So anyway.
But you can shorten the fundraiser, actually, as a listener, if you go to the tip jar at kpft.org and pledge ahead of time. That gets credited to our goals, and so we could get done quicker.
For this show, yeah. We could be not fundraising.
We meet our goals, then we do the show stuff.
Yeah, if you were to go to the website at kpft.org and make a pledge using the tip jar, they'll eventually send me a little notice of people to thank next week. So any money we raise kind of on the soft sell here will go towards our goal and will help us out for the first episode. If we could raise enough money to kill all three episodes with one blow, that'd be awesome.
What are the odds?
I don't want to do the math.
Better at Cash 5.
We've done it once.
Yeah, we have. We had like a 10-minute fundraiser once. We shut it down. We did it once before we even showed up. So it is possible.
Awesome. Never tell me the odds.
We're going to be talking Star Wars references throughout this entire show, I think.
I assume that everyone listening has seen the preview. The last preview, rather.
The most current preview?
Yes.
The second teaser trailer?
Yes. Chewie, we're home.
Is Luke evil? Did Luke just become evil now?
The thing that kills me is Obi-Wan. At the end of that trailer, they've got finally Harrison Ford and Chewbacca, but it doesn't look like Han Solo. It just looks like old Harrison Ford. It's like, who let him on set?
Oh, come on now. He might act that way. He might look addled, but he's still Han Solo.
I don't know. I've seen interviews with him.
It's like
he and Chewbacca are looking for a nice golf course to set down on.
So if only he could have found like a real Jar Jar and maybe CGI'd Han in, but
yeah, like could have. That'd be, Lee. You know, it'd end up looking like Tron probably.
Or B-roll footage touched up.
Lee, he knows you love him.
Of course he does.
He's not listening.
Han Solo was inside of us all along.
I heard they had a real problem. They had a real problem shooting this movie because he shot Princess Leia first, and then he shot he shot everybody first for this for the new movie.
Aww. Put down the whip, Indy.
I just expect Harrison Ford to get up and point a blaster at the kids and say, "Get off my spaceship!
Get off my spaceship!"
I know.
We hate you. I know.
Where are you? I don't know.
All right. So, tonight's episode is brought to you by Star Wars. Disney.
By the promise of Star Wars. Let's hope. It's looking, yeah, I think so.
You know what? I got to say, I got a little emotional during the trailer. It made me feel some geek stuff inside of me. Like in that opening hand.
That opening shot.
A little bit.
That opening shot with
the junked Star Destroyer kind of in the background.
Destroyer.
Yeah.
The way they brought it in from off screen,
first you
they did
just
it right.
See the X-Wing and you're like, it's a crashed X-Wing. And then
the appropriate amount of
some mountains and then it's a bigger mountain and a bigger mountain. That's not a mountain.
That's not a mountain.
Although I will say that the scene in the trailer where they've got the TIE fighters kind of inside the hangar,
yeah,
kind of mm-hmm. doing the lateral move, looked very much like they were on wires.
It looked practical, but I like that. I like that it had that practical look and not the uber slick.
They might have
CGI
been on wires still.
And yeah. It just looked weird seeing it move laterally.
It did look a little funky.
It was not a good clip, I think, to add to that because it looked. I could see the model.
What if they put Harrison Ford on wires? Well, is it that he looks old or he just wasn't moving sprightly enough for you?
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
He wasn't really moving at all.
He doesn't fit that little leather vest like he used to.
Actually, he was piloting that TIE fighter, and it wasn't supposed to be shooting stuff up.
It was just Harrison Fording all around there.
I thought I pressed the lunch button.
Then he crashed it into a golf course.
That's not
now,
funny.
The thing about that scene to me that was a problem as far as by association is it. It reminded me of some of the multiple times in the first in the episode one where when they had the kid, when Anakin, you know, was constantly like doing stuff that bailed him out, where he accidentally ends up in a ship. I mean, it ended up like sort of the worst kind of Mary Sue kid movie.
Yeah, now this is pod racing, Peter.
kind of thing. So having that scene in the trailer was kind of like one of those like a not good reminder.
Yeah, but
that,
the thing is, that's
the thing.
There was a precursor to that though, because that's how Boba Fett died.
What?
Well, until they said that, oh, he didn't actually die. He just sat down there for a while and then got out.
Well, that was the robot chicken.
Oh,
skin.
It's our last or whatever.
Yeah, because it was a mistake where like Han was blinded or whatever, and
they couldn't see because
he told him to turn around, and he hit Boba Fett's backpack or something, and
right.
he shot off into the Sarlacc pit.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of a precursor to Anakin and pod racing.
I thought the precursor I thought was the later in Return of the Jedi in the indoor forest speeder bike chase, and George Lucas like was in love with the idea of like fast moving stuff, and that was like the first time he got to do it. But when episode one rolled around and there was no one there to say no to him, he was like, you know what we really need? How long is this movie? Well, let's take about 30 minutes of it and just do this pod race thing.
See, I just meant kind of like the slapstick stuff. I think it also had to do with my age, like when I watched them. Like the first movie, if I go back and watch it, I can't detach myself from it, you know, because it's
just... You can't be serious.
You know...
No.
But
I understand
No, I'm
that.
Saying the very first, episode yeah. four, yeah. right? I can't detach myself from it because there's too much nostalgia, but if I kind of stretch myself away from it a little bit, I'm like, you know what? It's kind of a little bit goofy sometimes, and Luke Skywalker
is
just
man.
Annoying.
Everything about Star Wars, and the thing that that trips up older fans, and by older fans I basically mean us, is that George Lucas never intended the series to be anything more than, you know, popcorn Saturday matinee fare. And that's why he got so much stick when we all grew up and he did the new trilogy, and he was all like, you know, Phantom Menace with the pod racing announcer with the two heads dancing around.
That we all
kept doing it
Attack
for the
of
kids.
The Clones. Yeah, and but the kids absolutely fell in love with it. There was a clip that somebody posted to YouTube when Disney first picked up Lucasfilm last year or a year and a half ago, whenever it was, and announced that they were going to do three more movies. There was a clip that somebody posted to YouTube of a guy who had filmed his kids reading the announcement. Like, you know, it was like an 11-year-old and like a 6-year-old, and the 11-year-old was reading it to the 6-year-old about they're going to have new Star Wars, and like the guy was filming his kids' reaction to it, and they like lost their minds. And
the Muppets take Star Wars, but it still wasn't as bad as the next.
Which
it had some. Didn't isn't that where someone and someone kissed? Which one was that? When did Luke and Leia kiss? When did it go all West Virginia on him?
Well,
yeah,
the
first one?
She kissed him
for
luck.
Yeah, still, though.
She
wasn't on the cheek.
Kissed him.
On the bridge. Where was that? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it was in the medical bay after Luke got out of the Bacta tank.
That's right, but that was more to get back at Han. It's been a while since I've watched
it. Because he was standing right there, and she was like, And then Chewbacca was like, whoa. And then Han was like, laugh it up, fuzzball.
I'm just gonna. There should be like a Lee Hutchins version. Like it would probably actually be better than the first extended DVD.
I've written enough Star Wars fanfic in my day to make several screenplays.
Have you acted them out? Is there anything? Can you just bring some ink? Can we just place some stuff in the middle of fundraiser?
You know what? Hold on. Let me see if I can log into my live journal here.
Well, let's do the news while Lee looks those up.
Thanks.
I have to make sure I find the stuff that's not slashed in.
I've heard a rumor that at the end of The Force Awakens that they're going to show a trailer for the next movie, and they're going to reveal the title, and the title is Star Wars: The Return of George Lucas. Suckers.
No thanks. No, I kind of like Star Wars is for the kids, and I went on that big rant a few minutes ago, but at the same time I do like the idea. At least so far, based on what I've seen of J.J. Abrams' take on kind of a more, a more grown-up Star Wars that is for the older fans rather than just embracing the kid movie thing.
He's done kiddish stuff.
Well, sure,
as well, right? So if he can combine those two and somehow make both of them,
You've got to have that Saturday matinee. Like sense of
got to have the magic in there. Magic has to be in there.
You've got to have the magic because Star Wars is this is not hard sci-fi. This is a fairy tale set in space.
You can have magic though and still have scary, on the edge of the seat, not sure what's going to happen. Good kind of adventure stuff too, though. I think that's hard to do, but you can do that.
Yes,
and some darkness and arms getting lobbed off
with adult themes, and I don't mean adult like X-rated themes. You can have adult themed. Space fantasy, space opera, and hopefully that's what we're going to get. We're going to get a good set of movies that makes everybody happy.
So did someone go back and grab Vader's helmet off the planet and just grab that?
I can only assume that Luke grabbed it out of the pyre, before he walked off. He was like, you know what, I'm taking this.
Well, it's the same thing with the saber, right? A lot of people have said that the saber that they're handing is actually Luke's first saber, which was the one that.
All right. Star Wars episode
fell into Cloud
intervention.
This is a Star Wars intervention.
The planet that Cloud City was on.
We'll come back to this conversation.
All right.
After we get back on track.
Do we have news to do?
Well, the one thing I would say,
fail.
Star Wars.
Hey, I'm not in the studio, so you can't see when I want to say something.
You just press the mute button.
I've been waiting.
Go ahead.
No, the key thing that I think sort of is the cut to the chase is whether it's for kids or not. You have to tell a story that people can follow and enjoy. And the first two movies really had that. They had a beginning, a middle, and an end that was cool. The third one already started recycling stuff. They blew up the Death Star again and started, bleeding over into kind of not telling a story, which was more George Lucas. The more he took the reins, the more he was trying to tell the story, the weaker the story got. And then the other three, who remembers even the plot? You can find a little kid and they can tell you the plot to the first Star Wars, right? You can do that in about three sentences, but the other ones, it's like trade federations and all this stuff that is not kid movie stuff.
Yeah.
It was a vehicle for special effects and running around cities and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's almost like Lucas had in mind a set of effects he wanted to do, and then he tried to figure out, what kind of story would I have to have so I could have that effect? Oh, yeah, trade wars, that's it. We'll have some negotiations, and we can do this totally green screen conference room.
I've always wanted to be really racist on the big screen. How can I do that?
There you go. We had space Nazis in the first Star Wars movie, so who's left? Anyway.
All right, so let's go back to Peter now that Peter's done.
To the pre-Star Wars Peter.
Put on the other Peter.
The prequels.
Put on the good Peter.
Peter prequel.
Take it away, InfoShot.
It's the Technology Bites InfoShot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
We make some, we make weak Star Wars movies, but Japan, which is not like really cutting edge culture right now as far as movies or technology, they have got cool maglev trains though, and they are way past us on it. A Japan railway maglev train hit 374 miles per hour on an experimental track on Tuesday, setting a decisive new record. This was the second time they'd broken the record in a week. Last Thursday, they got one to go 366 miles an hour. Then they went back and did it again faster. So right now, China runs the world's fastest commercial maglev train. Oh, in the United States, we got one of them fast trains. Yeah, ours will go 150 miles per hour, although it usually goes about half that speed. So in other words, in Japan and China, they have stuff that you couldn't keep up with in a car, where in the United States, you can go faster than that on the tollway. So the cool thing on maglevs, if you're not familiar with them, is that they don't really – they use work by using magnets to push the train away from the tracks and drive it forward. The Japan's maglevs don't use metal tracks. They float nearly 4 inches above special guideways, which allows for basic sort of relatively frictionless movement because there's not wheels rolling on a track. The whole thing, it's just air resistance is all there is. Japan's been testing their train to figure out the best operational speed for a planned route between Tokyo and Nagoya, scheduled to begin service in 2027. You got to plan ahead on these things. The trip takes 5 hours by car right now, but in the future, a maglev train could finish the journey in 40 minutes. Basically, to put that into Texas terms, it's like going from Houston to Dallas or Dallas to Houston. Right now it takes 4 or 5 hours by car, but it could be 40 minutes if we had high-speed rail. But, you know, even though there's somebody trying to do private high-speed rail with no government money, there's still politicians who are trying to block that here. And we're not even talking about – they're not talking about 360-mile-an-hour trains for that one. We don't get the best and the brightest, but at least it's out there and people know about it. And so maybe that raises the possibility that that someday we can have I particularly would like a high-speed maglev train that went from San Antonio to Houston. It only would have to go like Wednesday afternoons and evenings. Frankly, come back in the evening, as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, never mind. Enough about my high-speed rail needs. In other news, Twitter is making more changes on the way it deals with online harassment, including limiting how many people can see the messages of an abusive user. The microblogging and messaging service has also altered its policies relating to what is prohibited and how it deals with users posting policy-violating content, with a new tool able to help its staff more effectively monitor abusive tweets. The service's violent threats policies expanded the range of prohibited messages, extending it from its existing, quote, direct specific threats of violence against others language to, quote, threats of violence against others or promoting violence against others. So that apparently they admit the previous policy was too narrow and limited their ability to act on certain kinds of threatening behavior. Apparently, the new monitoring tool can automatically identify suspected abusive tweets, allowing moderators to take action and prevent viewing the content by the general public. Taking into account, quote, a wide range of signals and context that frequently correlates with abuse, such as the age of the account and the similarity of tweets previously identified as abusive, the system can actively prevent the message from being stumbled upon by unsuspecting users. So that sounds like a good use of sort of big data for a positive purpose to help Twitter get around its problem of being a place for a place for abuse, especially like brand new, you know, when somebody creates a brand new account that's, you know, 15 minutes old and it's sending hateful things to people, that certainly would be a red flag. And it sounds like they've taken that into account and are making positive steps to fix it. So good on them. And we've talked in the past especially on the news on Technology Bites about, you know, voting machine security issues. This is an interesting one. Here's where it gets more specific. You know, it's one thing, you know, to talk about it in the abstract, which is how, how we've spoken about it before. But on April 14th, the Virginia State Board of Elections voted to immediately decertify use of a particular voting machine called the AVS WinVote, WINVOTE, touchscreen direct recording electronic voting machine. That means that that machine, which the Washington Post says was used by dozens of local governments in Virginia, can't be used anymore at all, though the Commonwealth is holding primaries in just 2 months. The move comes in light of a report that shows just how shoddy and insecure voting machines can be. That's the that's the key thing here. You know, is the direct seeing how bad these are. Apparently, if an election was held using the AVS WinVote and that election wasn't hacked, it was only because nobody tried. The vulnerabilities were so severe and so trivial to exploit that anyone with even a bit of training could have succeeded. Wouldn't need a hacker they wouldn't even have to be in the polling place, apparently. They could have been within a few hundred feet, say in the parking lot, or within a half mile if they used a rudimentary antenna built using a Pringles can. Further, there were no logs or records that would indicate if such a thing ever happened. So if an election was hacked at any time in the past, we'll never know. So the deal is the AVS WinVote is a Windows XP embedded laptop with the touchscreen. Early versions of the software actually ran Windows 2000. The reporter in the article I'm reading said an election official told him about playing solitaire on the voting machine. Later versions ran a somewhat cut-down version, although it's not clear how much it was actually simplified. It was certified in meeting voting system standards of 2002 and was approved for use in Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Mississippi, although Pennsylvania and Mississippi stopped using theirs years ago. Virginia used it as recently as the November 2014 election when voting machines in one precinct were repeatedly crashing. Some suggested the problem was caused by someone trying to stream music on a smartphone. affecting it. The State Board of Elections invited the Virginia Information Technologies Agency to investigate the problem, and they released the report on the 14th of April. It includes a bunch of problems, and no one still understands how the iPhone interfered with the system, but that's not really important. Here's the goodies from the report, and this is in a voting machine that got used from 2002 to 2014. The encryption key for the wireless connection is ABCDE, and that key is unchangeable. That sounds good. How long would your home Wi-Fi last if your password was ABCDE and you couldn't change it? The system hasn't been patched since 2004. That's a good one. Oh, this is the best one. The administrator password on these voting machines appears to be hardwired to admin. Because the system has a weak set of controls, it would be easy for someone to guess and then enter in the password. The database is an obsolete version of Microsoft Access and uses a very weak encryption key, SHUP. There are no controls on changing the database. That means that someone could copy the voting database to a separate machine, edit the votes, and put it back, and there are no controls to detect that you did that. Barely covered up the USB ports and other physical connections. So if you found the port and you plugged it in, you could do anything that plugging in a device would allow you to do. You know, so a thumb drive or any of the other tools that we've ever seen that you can, you know, if you can hook up USB to it, work on that. And this was just a very basic investigation using off-the-shelf open source tools. They did not look at source code or any other advanced tools. So, you know, the guy sums up basically, how would you exploit these vulnerabilities to change an election? You could sit in a polling place nearby in the parking lot with a laptop, use a free sniffer to capture the traffic and figure out the wireless connection password, which was ABCDE. Connect to a voting machine over Wi-Fi, put in the admin password, which was admin, download the Microsoft Access database using Windows Explorer, Use a free tool to extract the key. Use access to add, delete, and change the votes. Upload the modified copy of the database back to the voting machine and wait for the election results to be published. This isn't like, you know, the hacker, you know, big adventure, you know, zero-day exploit stuff. This is so basic. This is like they're just lucky that smart aleck kids never figured it out, because it would have been Mickey Mouse would have been winning, or Star Wars would have been winning elections in Virginia. So the sad thing is, you know, we thought that it was fairly pathetic, the security on a lot of voting machines, and here's the proof. And these are real machines that a real state used for real elections up to and including last year. So hopefully this opens the door to more places checking on what's going on with their electronic voting before something really bad happens, where an election is in doubt, you know, where you can't know if you can count on the results of an election because of the results, because there's no way to track if they were legitimate or if they were hacked. And finally, a top story. This one, you know, we've moved to a point where the people who've used computers for most of their adult lives are getting up into their, you know, late 40s, early 50s. So you're talking about pretty far into the population of folks. And yet we still have laws that appear to have been written by, I don't know, like somebody's non-computer using grandparents. There's this story out of Florida. A 14-year-old eighth grader in Florida, Dominic Green, has been charged with a felony for, quote, hacking his teacher's computer. Now, we just talked about the voting hacking, you know, how to hack a voting machine where you could do some serious damage to society, presumably. Well, what's the hack that this young computer genius did? He used a widely known password to change the desktop background of his teacher's computer to be an image of two men kissing. So he's been charged with a felony. As usual, when it comes to bad laws related to computer hacking or unauthorized access, the focus is the Federal Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. But this particular in Florida, this instance highlights that many states have their own version of the bad federal law with their own overbroad and insensible language, of course, including Florida. You know, and actually, Florida's statute is even harsher than the federal one. A lowest level offense under CFAA is a misdemeanor, but in Florida, the lowest level offense, if you're accused of hacking under that law, is a felony. Furthermore, the Florida statute also neglects to define what authorized or unauthorized means, and under these facts, a reasonable person may think they are authorized if the passwords have been widely used by students. So the sheriff is explaining why they charged a 14-year-old with a felony for changing desktop wallpaper. Quote, even though some might say this is just a teenage prank, who knows what this teenager might have done? Now, this is with a password that's been handed on all over the place and is just out and available. The school and the sheriff have admitted that they found no evidence that the student tampered with or even intended to tamper with files. There were sensitive files on the teacher's computer relating to the Florida comprehensive assessment test. But the kid hadn't, apparently the sheriff and the school say that the kid never did anything that indicated any interest in that. And it's been reported that the school had terrible operational security, where weak passwords, teachers entering passwords in front of students. Can you shoulder surf anyone? And students regularly using teachers' credentials was prevalent. But the sheriff goes on. He's not stopping. He says, if information comes back to us and we get evidence that other kids have done it, they're going to face the same consequences. The arbitrary practice of how computer crime laws are applied is not just an exclusive feature of federal prosecutors, but of course the locals can get into it. The idea of giving prosecutors and police discretion on charging decisions is generally seen as a good thing, but in this case, it doesn't seem to make sense. The aggressive use of discretion here could have long-lasting consequences for a 14-year-old kid who will have to deal with the consequences of a felony, difficult job prospects, loss of voting rights, inability to carry a firearm, etc., for what is a juvenile prank. The charging decision and punishment, this is from EFF.org, they say should be proportional to the harm a person causes. The only thing that, quote, making an example, unquote, out of Dominic Green accomplishes is to make an example of how screwed up our computer crime laws and the prosecutorial discretion that accompanies them are. The EFF calls on Pasco County to do the sensible thing and not ruin this kid's life, because this is not justice. It's not even hacking. And that's the news. You know, I don't understand how in this day and age, the teachers, unless their whole school is full of very old teachers, they should understand the difference between a kid hacking a computer and a kid changing a desktop wallpaper.
Yeah, that shouldn't be much different than, you know, like putting a tack on the teacher's chair. It's not like this kid was a mastermind. Although we talked, I guess, last week, you mentioned, the FAA, coming out with the paper and saying, hey, there could be some issues between, like the entertainment systems and the avionics systems. there was a guy, Chris Roberts, who was up in the air, and he sent out a tweet, and the tweet just said, find myself on a 737-800, let's see, box, IFE, ISATCOM, shall we start playing with ICUS messages? Pass oxygen on, anyone? And ICUS is engine indicating and crew alerting system. So a couple of these things, and like the box, IFE, ISATCOM stuff, that's some nav stuff. So it's, it's kind of like a busy box kind of thing. So it's kind of a joke. But when he got back on the ground, the FBI was waiting for him and detained him and kept him for 4 hours and took his iPad and his MacBook Pro and all of his storage devices. And, that's just kind of the thing. He didn't actually do anything. He didn't probe anything. He just, made a comment in the air. And before he hit the ground, a lot of people were up in a row over it.
So, yeah, well, in other words, if you described it to somebody who didn't know anything about anything, you could make it sound serious. Oh, he said he used terms that showed that he has knowledge of this.
Yeah,
of course...
Oh, go ahead, Pete.
Anybody with Google could find those terms.
Well, it's the same thing as me saying, like typing out bomb or saying bomb on the air. Just because I said bomb doesn't mean
you
I'm
just said
go bomb,
bomb on the air.
Oh, no! All that stuff. And that's kind of what he was doing. He was just saying, like, hey, he threw out a couple of terms that, these avionics guys would know that are used in the computer system. It's like when we joke around saying, like, hey, just type in RMRF. It's like, yeah. Okay, we don't really mean that, and,
nobody is going to stone anyone, and let me make this perfectly clear, even if they do say Jehovah.
Although, Hillary could say, hey, I called into the show, and they said RMRF, and that's where all the emails went, so who knows. The good news is the Aaron Schwartz thing, that was a really sad thing a handful of years ago. That was the guy – they actually made a movie about it, The Internet's Own Boy, and that was the guy. It's been a while, but he downloaded a whole lot of educational journals and published them online and was sued by the company that runs the journals, even though his school said, hey, after a while they said, hey, don't do that. So there is a law that was, brought up a couple of years ago, and it looks like it's making its way through. It's called Aaron's Law, and pretty much what it is a – it's a law that's going through Congress that is supposed to curb overzealous prosecutions for non-malicious computer and internet offenses. So while it doesn't quite do what Pete was saying, hey, this isn't quite hacking, at least what they're doing is they're trying to put in a check on making sure that some of the punishments are proportional, with the crimes that are being committed. And a lot of times, if there's no maliciousness, don't send someone away for the rest of their lives. That's kind of what it comes down to. So we'll see how it goes. It's bipartisan. It's making its way through. It's Rand Paul from Kentucky and Ron Wyden out of Oregon. And I think there's someone out of California too, but I can't remember who. So hopefully it'll make its way through.
Yeah, the sad part about this is, though, that adults should – when you're talking about stuff at school with kids, there's a real difference. Here's to give an example – there's a real difference between some kid who pockets a bag of chips in the line in the cafeteria and a kid who goes into a bank and pulls a gun and steals money. You know what I mean? And everybody can look at that and go, okay, there's a real difference in what you're talking about here. But when it has to do with computers, there's still enough technology ignorant idiots out there who still think that this is magical and think that logging into somebody's computer and changing the desktop wallpaper is the same thing as hacking, like what they've heard. Because I heard, you know, what's next? This kid could hack an airplane.
This has an element of thought crime to it because of the statement from the from the sheriff. Was it the sheriff? The statement from the Pasco County Sheriff who says, well, who knows what he might have done with that password? I mean, sure, he only changed the desktop now, but it could have been so much worse. Well, okay, so does that – you can't charge somebody based on what they might have done.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on it.
Just wait.
Where is the media? Here's the one that the question I want to hear somebody ask the sheriff is – so when somebody's computer isn't working very well, do they call you? Can you help somebody if somebody's computer had a problem? Would they call you? What's your level of knowledge? How's your technology knowledge on this? Well, because I can't believe that if there's an IT guy at the sheriff's department, that they would say, "Oh yeah, no, this kid's bad."
It's just a horribly unjustified hardline stance that's based on a reading of the law that goes by the letter and not by the spirit. It's really not any more complicated than that, unfortunately.
Right, which normally adults with kids, they treat it for what it really is, which is, you know, the kid was being a smart aleck, and so, yeah, should he get detention? I could see, doing that. But that's as far as it should go, a felony or the rest of his life, you know, accused of hacking.
You know, and honestly, the people who are my age, you know, it's all – You hear the, you know, kids will be kids, boys do dumb stuff. And the people who are my age in their late 30s, I can empathize with this because who in my generation hasn't changed a friend's desktop picture to be something, you know, clever or far worse than two guys kissing?
Who hasn't taken over a satellite and changed its orbit trajectory, you know? We've all done that.
Kids.
Yeah, what's next? Aww. So you're going to send a kid to prison for Rickrolling somebody?
Don't give him any ideas.
Capsized container full of oil. You know,
well, you just have to find a way to redefine it. It's misdirection of legitimate internet traffic.
Yeah, well, whatever.
So, it's one of those where you sort of go, in this day and age, I don't understand.
Well, it's just baffling, and I'm hoping that the fact that it's on, that the EFF has picked it up, I hope that the kids' parents are getting counsel and that they're, you know, planning on fighting it as much as possible, and I hope that they're victorious and they're able to keep the kid out of jail, and then I hope they turn around and sock the Pasco County Sheriff's Office with the most gigantic nuclear level civil suit that they can come up with, because they sure as hell deserve it.
This is just an off the cuff kind of thought, but I wonder if, you know, the NSA and all the three letter agencies haven't been keeping Congress, or, you know, like if they haven't been a little bit happy that Congress is ignorant of a lot of the computer stuff to where they can do a lot of the things that they're doing and fly under the radar.
I think that's the big thing
that strikes me, is you think, okay, our government, they don't understand things, they can't get a government project going, they can't do this, they can't do that, our legislatures don't understand technology, but at the same time we've been able to get into, you know, like infiltrate all kinds of hardware routers, all kinds of networks. We've been able to, you know, this is also something I'm, you know, sometimes taken aback by and shocked by, but at the same time it's like, wow, good job guys, you did really well. You know, we've weakened encryption algorithms, you know, we've done all kinds of stuff, but really we can't get online taxes and some transparency, and we can't get a few, you know, senators that understand what they're doing. I'm thinking that maybe, you know, we want to keep them in the dark. And when I say we, you know, like those, the powers that be.
Well, I mean, there's
I don't think we're the powers that be.
Yeah, no, we're definitely not the powers
that be. There's always that fear that if Congress gets involved, they're just going to pass laws and screw everything up and make it worse and commission a study to look at the whatever. And then 15 years later, by the time something has actually happened, that problem isn't a problem anymore. Now there's all new problems that the laws you made to fight the first problem actually make the second problem worse, as with so many things, as with the last round of computer laws, the first round of computer laws, I guess, that came out of the 80s and the 90s, especially stuff like the DMCA and the CAA or CFAA, whatever.
Yeah.
This one is the CFAA. I'm thinking of the, what was the, what was
the Digital
one?
Millennium Copyright
the
Act?
The DMCA.
DMCA!
No, the CFA. No, okay, the CDA, the Communications Decency Act, the one that ended up being overturned because it was so shambolic.
That's not overturned, is it? The Computer Decency
Act? No. Yeah, the CDA. Didn't they get it?
I don't think so, because didn't the revenge porn guy get that cited as one of the things that they...
I don't know. Let's see. Check the Wikipedia.
The bad one, the 1986 one, which is the one that started sending all the hackers to jail, that was the CFA, and that's the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act.
That's the one that the kid is being... Or, no, it's not. That the kid's being charged on.
No, that's the one that... So Aaron's Law is trying to curb some of the teeth, pull back some of the teeth of the CFAA.
Got it. Okay. And then I swear that Computer Decency Act of 1996 was the one where on Usenet everybody was posting all of the... Everybody's SIG on Usenet got changed for a long time to protest the CDA because everybody was afraid that the government was going to take away your right to use the internet and post their...
Well, I didn't know about this. Okay, so everyone... So we kind of know that, you know, the CFA is a little bit on the broken side. So I've always heard, like, well, we can't go mess with it. It's old legislation. No one understands it. They updated it in 89 and 94 and 96 and in 2001. And then the Patriot Act actually had provisions that updated again in 2002 and again in 2008 by the Identity Theft Enforcement and Restitution Act. And now I didn't know this. Apparently, January 2015, Barack Obama proposed expanding the CFAA and the RICO Act and is modernizing law enforcement authorities to combat cybercrime proposal. So that's no good. It's about to get a lot worse.
Okay, and then here the CDA, the other one that we were talking about, the Communication Decency Act of the 90s, was struck down. Portions of it were struck down in a Supreme Court decision in 1997. In a 7-2 vote, struck down the online censorship provisions of the CDA in an historic ruling determining the future of free speech on the internet, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, okay, so Congress still has a history of passing misguided legislation.
Bunk legislation.
Legislation that attempts to conceptualize and legislate things that it's very difficult to conceptualize.
Are you guys pro tube or anti tube on the big tube bill?
Tube.
The series of tubes.
Tubes.
The tubes bill.
What are we talking about?
We're going to upgrade the tubes.
You have to help me out here, man.
I'm an old
tubes.
Senator. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
You're a senator.
Basic misunderstanding.
It's
of
not
how
a
internet
wire.
Works.
It's
do you remember
a
the series of
tubes?
How
yes.
I was explaining how things
I
work.
No, I thought you were referring to an actual bill.
Hope there's not a bill
plausible.
That says, "Hey, let's upgrade the tubes." I really hope there isn't.
It sounded like something that
I suddenly want to go search though.
That they would do
bigger tubes.
We need.
Well,
more tubes.
I think that the solution in Florida is they should vote on what should happen to the kid, and I can get them some voting machines really cheap in Virginia.
We will help you, Pete.
Not only will the kid not get convicted, he could be elected president.
Sweet.
It's Florida, you know.
President of Florida.
14,000 people registered to vote in the county, 67,000 votes.
Woohoo! That's like Chicago politics right there.
I think the number of our votes just reflect how solidly we believe the kid is innocent. That's all we're going to say
well,
about that.
Well, see, they did the like really obvious, you know, take the database and replace it thing, but if you're going to commit voting machine fraud, the trick is...
Careful. This is being recorded.
No, this is just... Yeah, really. The logical trick is if you have a rough idea of how many votes you need to win, and in most precincts that you can kind of figure out, you know, if it's, say, 70-30 one party or one candidate or the other, you put... In the machine, before anybody touches it to vote, you add votes to one candidate and take votes. You put a negative number. You put in minus 1,000 votes on candidate A and plus 1,000 votes on candidate B. As long as you know for sure that there's going to be more than 1,000 votes in that precinct. And then everybody votes. Everything works exactly perfectly. And at the end, when they tally it up, there's the correct number of votes have been cast. Everything matches up, and the candidate who got the plus 1,000 votes or plus whatever number wins.
Are you reading this out?
And you don't have to go in and do individual stuff, and you don't have to go in afterwards. This can happen while the thing is sitting there for 5 days before they open up the precinct.
Surely they would reset it. I mean, I would build in a reset button when, you know, like an electronic signal goes out, voting open, reset the machine then, but I'm sure they don't do that.
No.
Right. Well, have you seen who the election judges are who set these places up? There's a reason they hard-coded the admin password as admin on those machines in Virginia. They don't want those people to touch them. you know, other than to turn them on.
Those
and so
are
the problem is
volunteers, Pete, but you're not the most technical people generally.
Speeding is a felony in that state. Like, if you do 20 miles out an hour over, they can put you in jail. But voter fraud, hey, bring it.
That's no speed limit on voter fraud. So it's just, you know, yeah, so you just wonder if that's been out, if machines like that have been out, you know, you've got, we have a serious problem of not enough people yet in political power who understand how this stuff works. And they apparently don't talk to anybody who knows how it works either, because, of course, they don't seem to listen to the EFF or some of these other people who have legitimate things to say.
If you're a congressperson or a senator, you are so busy taking meetings from lobbyists and trying to, like, keep yourself up on the issues of the day as filtered into your onto your desk by the army of lobbyists trying to buy you free stuff that you don't have time to learn technology.
Seriously, you're running shadow email account servers. You're running, right, you know, all kinds of black ops. There's not enough time to actually
That fat lobbyist bribe money is just, you know, if you don't take it, somebody else is. You don't have time to go and be educating yourself on issues in technology, because that's the lobbyist meetings that you could be taking instead.
Okay. As we come to the top of the hour, and I know it takes a little time to tell. You know, in the news today and yesterday was the story of the man who took his computer into the alleyway and shot it 8 times. And I was hoping that maybe we could get Flicted to recount the tale of shooting. Because, you know,
Flicted's in there eating lunch.
PC load letter.
There was another story of a computer getting shot.
Do we have time? We have 9 minutes,
yeah,
I guess.
I think he can do it.
He can do it in 9 minutes. So I want Flicted to tell the story that he's told before about his friend / relative
back
or
in
relative
the day
of a friend.
Yeah.
Were you wearing an onion on your belt?
The story in the news isn't your friend's story, right?
No.
Okay. This happened a few years ago. So as a coworker, as he relayed the story, it was his uncle, and his uncle was living at my friend's grandmother, his mother's place, because he had lost his place or something. Anyway, he was there, and my friend's grandmother had a computer in you know, like a normal old computer, and she called my friend who works with me is a computer guy, so she called him and said, "Hey, something's going on with my computer. Like, it's really slow, and I'm getting all these pop-ups." And so he went over there, and his uncle was there, and he was like, "All right, look, you know, I'm not going to lie. I've been looking at porn. I don't want your grandmother to know about this, so just fix it and make it work better, and don't tell her." And so my friend said, okay, all right, whatever. So he found, of course, spyware and junk on it that was making it have pop-ups and go slow. So he fixed it. And a week or two goes by, and then the uncle calls him up. And he's like, "I need you to come over." And so he goes over, and again, the grandmother's like, "It's really bad. Like, it's really slow. It's really messed up." And he's like, "Oh, you know, I don't know what to say." And so he fixes it. So then the uncle calls him up and is like, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do." He's like, "What did you do?" He's like, "Well, I was looking at something online, and all of a sudden the computer went to a blue screen. It said illegal operation. And so I thought the cops were going to come or something because I did something illegal. So I got freaked out." And he's like, "Okay, what happened?" He's like, "Well, so I took the computer out into the back of the pasture and shot it and then buried it."
No one's going to know.
6 feet down.
And he's still not in jail.
I don't know how many times he shot it. I always imagine him shooting the monitor, though, and not the...
that would fit.
True to the keyboard, one of the monitor.
But then our joke was always like, you know, like when they finally do, like, create robot AI that, like, starts, you know, operating in the earth, walking around, looking at things, talking to people, they're going to find that, and that's going to what that's going to be that that
it's going to be the that, reset
that's what's going to starts yeah. yeah starts the robot revolution.
This human murdered one of us.
Oh my god. This is not a lull.
So Han didn't shoot first.
Uncle,
your friend's
what's
uncle. Yeah, we do need to know his first name.
I don't remember what his name is. Oh. Sorry.
Uncle Walter.
Uncle Walter murdered computers.
Not lol. All right. So
kill all humans.
It's going to be like a statue to a Dell Optiplex.
With three bullet holes in
the unknown, the unknown CPU.
In memory.
A very, very dirty keyboard. I hope he buried the keyboard.
An extended memoriam.
My ROM. We put it in our ROM.
All right.
And at the bottom of it, it'll have an LCD screen with a blue illegal operation screen.
Never forget. Set read only flag to never forget.
Go to 10. Well, that was humorous and entertaining. That story always entertains me. My computer clock says it's much later than what the station clock says.
What does the station clock say? The station clock says it's 12:54.
That's true.
You're right.
We were pure midnight for the first hour of last week's show.
I don't know if anyone noticed.
Yeah, I don't know if someone jiggled the handle or what, but the clock kicked back in towards the end. But yeah, we were straight up midnight.
So I jiggled the handle of time.
I miss the doctor. He could do that. Is he coming back anytime soon? Do we have to wait a whole nother year for more Doctor Who
episodes? The thing is I'm blissfully unaware of all the modern Doctor Who stuff. I'm in season 6, you know. I'm back there with,
black and white.
So we can hear the music.
No, not the black and white, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. And,
go slowly, yeah.
All right, well, yeah, we're savoring the moment. We've also, Cynthia has started to read the Hitchhiker's Guide series. Huh. I'll update on that after these messages.
We're going
to take a short break here. You're listening to Technology Bites. If you feel inclined, go to kpft.org and make a pledge, because fundraiser starts next week. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Join us for the 29th Annual Texas Crawfish and Music Festival, April 24th through 26th, and May 1st through 3rd in Old Town Spring, featuring Stepper Doe, Friday, April 24th, Monty Montgomery, April 25th, Brad McCool and the Mighty Orc, Sunday, April 26th, and Zydeco legend and Grammy Award-winning artist Terrence Simeon, Friday, May 1st. Fun for the whole family and all ages. For tickets and more information, you can go to texascrawfishfestival.com. Supported in part by 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You can find KPFT on the social networking sites Twitter and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. Join our fan page and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. Visit facebook.com/KPFT Houston to join us. To follow us, visit twitter.com/KPFT. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. Again, on Twitter, visit twitter.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston, And we now return to Technology Bites.
We didn't think to ask Barrett if he had a Barrett time, but considering he's doing all of his online stuff on a phone.
With a broken screen.
Ironically, this is the one time, I've had small pieces of Barrett times. I had an amalgamation of Barrett times, and now I have no real access. I have shaved thumbs, though. I've been losing about a micro. Yeah, maybe a micrometer.
Oh, because you're using your thumb
every time
on a...
I throw my thumb over this thing.
Crack
so it's like
screen.
Very...
So you're shaving your fingerprints off.
Yeah, no, I really can. There's a very definite flat part to my thumb now that wasn't there when we started.
Well, technology is biting hard for Barrett tonight.
You should get a new screen.
I'm getting an abacus.
He's decided to push a big hipster thing where you only use broken old computer stuff.
What kind of apps can you install on an abacus?
Nothing. You can do, you know, counting by tens.
Sweet.
That's nice.
Put some different colored beads on.
Yeah, I was about
to say,
get some. Yeah, go with, you know, beads. I like seashells. I like to go with seashells. Not everyone else has beads. Battery life is pretty
awesome. You can water cool an abacus.
Yeah, water cool.
That's true.
You know, random conversations with ancient Chinese people. That's always nice.
Can you overclock it?
A little bit. It goes pretty fast. Now there still are abacus competitions. Like we're kind of joking, but if you want to see some impressive, you know, just like very quick bead work, go watch some. I think they're doing it at the Chinese schools, but they do competitions.
Sure, we can YouTube
large math numbers on abacus, and it's very impressive.
Is the plural of abacus abacus?
Abacai.
Is it abacus?
It's probably a word that's not in English.
Abacai.
Yeah, it's
abacus.
Probably abacus. See, that's the thing. I don't think
it's like
abacus
deer.
Sounds Latin.
Like one deer is a deer, and five deer are deer.
What deer?
Oh, dear.
I'm watching YouTube videos of people speed adding on abacuses.
Did you find it? It's actually...
Well, it says amazing abacus math video. That's...
Yeah,
so
that's got to be it.
Kids. Wait, here we go. Here's some guy. He's abacusing... Oh, it's a girl. Well, she's abacusing. She's abacusing. This video is not living up to its amazing description of amazing abacus math video.
Now, you know, what's even more impressive than the fast abacus thing is the fast finger calculations.
That's what I was thinking, too, because they do the same
they
thing.
They kind of do the abacus thing,
the abacus,
but with no
abacus.
They
take away the abacus,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're basically, they're just doing it on their, they're counting on their fingers. Yeah, and they're doing.
I think that's how they train, and they keep track of the finger positions.
Oh, that's what they're doing. Okay, wait, no, they're doing it in the video now. Okay, the video is now. I just had to let it play.
You just have to wait for it.
Now they're living up.
There's no greater radio entertainment than listening to a group of guys watch a YouTube.
Yeah. So more, yeah, they're keeping more or less their fingers become the abacus. They're able to do the calculations in pairs to where whenever they stop the flow of numbers, wherever their finger positions are, they can read off that position and get the number, derive the number back. So, you know, just an endless string of numbers, just like, you know, human adding machines. It's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
I can't do
it. Yes, but not as impressive as the two girls, one abacus.
I'm lucky to be able to count 10 on my fingers.
I still haven't seen that video.
Two,
they got 10 fingers. It's a whole other thing. They can do these huge numbers.
You ever
numbers.
Start to think, I mean, the fact that base 10 exists at all is probably because
of
the fingers,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. I mean, really, everything should be base 2. No, I mean, really, that's a more of a mathematical.
No.
There are a lot of other mathematical. You know, count by pi. You know, then we'd just get rid of the whole pi thing.
We should all count in octal. Everything should be octal. We should just all switch to that. They had it right with early computers in the 40s and 50s. Just everything should be octal. So much easier that way. Everything makes sense and it lines up. And you don't even need, like, 8 and 9. I mean, throw those away. Because it's octal.
Well, in other news, making things easy, the links for tonight's show are posted on geekradio.com.
Awesome.
So they're available if you want to follow along from home or else see whatever we didn't get to. I guess I probably should have added the Star Wars trailer on top, but...
We're not done with that. I'm sure we're going to
come back
to that.
People can find that. Other people can find that.
You can embed it. You can embed the YouTube video and make things even more interesting on our website. I have also updated for the Geek Gathering, so I've got the Geek Gathering announcement on the website.
The Geek Gathering, which I shouldn't even say it, but I'm really going to try to be there for this one.
Really?
Really?
Well,
that's my plan. My plan is to be there.
So for the Geek Gathering, I should have the Cutlass. And also, Cone has bought a vintage muscle car.
Yes, I will bring a Ural.
Are you guys going to drag?
And drive cars.
Can you drive in heels?
Nice.
I can drive in eels.
Heels. Can you drive in heels?
Your hovercraft is full of
my
them.
My muscle car is full of eels. references.
If I said you had a beautiful muscle car, would you hold it against me?
Yikes,
Lee. That was from the rest of the...
That sounded like that was from two geek gatherings ago.
Yes. All right, well, you know, it is the second hour of Technology Bites, and we're glad that everybody rushed to the website at kpft.org and pledged.
Did they?
I don't know.
Are you being sarcastic? No,
I'm being Jay-licious.
Optimistic.
Jay-licious. That sounds like a legit R&B singer name.
Jay-licious.
Jay-licious. Mm.
You know, that there is a hip-hop artist named Jay Lee, and he does not have the Jay Lee Twitter account, but I get a lot of his tweets. People tweet at me some serious, I mean, just language there's, I can't repeat.
There is a, there's another tech writer that I know who writes for tested.com, which is the Mythbusters website. Yeah. The guy's name is Will Smith, and he has at Will Smith, and he has like 70 or 80,000 followers, many of whom I think don't even know that he's not the movie star, but he is, you know, he's as ginger white as it's possible to get. He is not Will Smith.
Okay.
But he is Will Smith.
In that vein.
Don't make the next comment about me, please.
You're as white as they come. No, you don't use Facebook, so I have to explain a feature of Facebook to you, probably.
Okay, yeah, you probably do.
Okay, so...
What is this magical book of faces?
So in Facebook, what's cool is that you can start typing someone's name.
I know where you're going with
this.
And
it will build a link to their Facebook page. So what older people don't know about this feature, they don't pay attention to it. So they start typing, you know... to their grandchildren, you know, you're the greatest grandchild that I have, or I love you.
And they'll
you.
Like sign.
You're the greatest
note.
Grandmaster Flash. That
yes,
what it does.
They'll sign the note, Grandma. They'll and stop there.
Yeah, and then it'll sign it. So people are getting like, "I love yous," and "You're the best" from Grandmaster Flash.
I would be really excited to get a message like that. I don't know about y'all.
The article that I read about that they had asked him for comment, and he was like, "Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. You know, whatever. What are you gonna do?"
If I were him, I'd have just said, "Happy birthday! You're the greatest." When they asked him,
Grandmaster Flash loves everyone. He's going to write you a birthday card with a check for $12 in it.
All right. So what do we have? I need to go and check the show prep. Do we have anything else we want to talk about besides Star Wars?
We can talk about Star Wars.
Oh, well, there's some – if you would like to indulge in Apple Schadenfreude, there's plenty to be had on the Bite of the Apple. This one is pretty wild. There's a researcher has found an exploit that puts iOS devices in a reboot loop through Wi-Fi. Researchers at security firm SkyCure have divulged the existence but not the actual method that allows a Wi-Fi provider to reliably crash an iOS device upon connection to a known access point. The flaw allows a maliciously crafted SSL certificate to crash the device completely, forcing it into a repeatable reboot cycle as long as it's within range of the network.
The actual
implementation doesn't cause damage to the device and relies on the iOS device attempting to reconnect to the assaulting wireless hotspot. Other than inconvenience for users, there doesn't appear to be a deeper exploit. But it is a way, I guess, that one could drive iOS users from your coffee shop or your, you know, store. Or
that's whatever. Actually not a bad idea.
Android only, please.
Android only.
There was actually this is crazy. I think it was in, let me think, Oklahoma possibly, but late last week, a man was shot over an argument between.
No, they
was
actually
it?
Weren't
they
shot.
They weren't shot. They cut each other with broken glass.
Okay, so someone broke a ball. All I know is a fight broke out in an apartment. Based upon which is better, Android or iOS?
Well, there was an update to that today, actually.
So give me this.
The update. So okay, yeah. Originally, these two fellows in Oklahoma got into an argument. According to the police report, alcohol was a factor.
Surely.
Shocking.
Say it
is
so.
Hopefully, it was craft beer.
No, it didn't say. But
it was probably Budweiser and Miller Lite.
So these two poor guys get into an argument over, you know, my smartphone is better than your smartphone. Bottles are broken. faces and bodies are slashed with broken glass. The one guy stole the other guy's car, apparently, and drove it down the block and then got out of the car. When the police showed up, the police were called because one of the guys was wandering through the parking lot of the apartment complex bleeding. The police showed up and they found out what went on. Both of the guys were arrested. They were treated at a hospital. And then one guy was booked. The Smoking Gun has this. They wrote it up today. One guy, I believe, was booked and either didn't make bail or was being held without bail. The other guy is being held on an immigration investigation. So it's entirely possible that his drunken argument over which smartphone is better will lead to him being deported. So let that be a lesson to you if you're going to fight a platform contention war.
So who won, though? Was it Android or iOS?
Well, you know, there was one of the write-ups.
Who won the fight?
One of the write-ups was from a local TV station. I don't remember which one it was, but their blurb on their website closed with, like, the killer journalism statement that you wish you could write yourself. And it said, police had no comment when asked which smartphone was, in fact, better. So
awesome and boo all at the same time.
No one knows.
The actual winner was the roommate with the Windows phone who had the rest of the beer and pizza while those idiots were out in the parking lot.
The Windows phone user that called the police saying, hey, there's some bloody guy wandering out around the complex.
Well, they would have, but you know, their phone isn't.
And that's why it took
anymore,
so long. So. It took 20 minutes because they were using their Windows phone.
Yeah, they just couldn't do it. Yeah.
Well, in other bad Apple news, this one from Ars Technica, apparently 1,500 iOS apps have an HTTPS crippling bug. These are not like tiny apps. They've been downloaded 2 million times and are vulnerable to trivial man-in-the-middle attacks. So apparently it's the Citrix Open Voice audio conferencing, the Alibaba.com mobile app, movies by Flixster with Rotten Tomatoes. There's some other, you know, a bunch of other ones. According to analytics service SourceDNA, the weakness is a result of a bug in an older version of AF Networking, an open source code library that allows developers to drop networking capabilities into their apps. Although it was fixed 3 weeks ago, at least 1,500 iOS apps remain vulnerable because they still use the old version of the of it. Essentially, to exploit the bugs, attackers on a coffee shop Wi-Fi network or in another position to monitor the connection of a vulnerable device need only present it with a fraudulent SSL certificate. Well, under normal conditions, the credential would immediately be detected as a counterfeit and the connection would be dropped, but because of a logic error in the code of version 2.5.1, the validation check is never carried out.
Well, conventional wisdom is that writing your own security code is generally very hard. So you fall back on established libraries that, in theory, have been reviewed and found to be relatively bug-free. Whenever if you're going to implement encryption or, you know, if you're accepting credit cards and you need to set up like a point of sale app, or if you are, you know, doing like some of these apps are doing, if you're doing HTTPS inside of your app, you almost never want to write your own implementation. It's reinventing the wheel and it's very easy to screw up. So you use a library like this AF networking library. You incorporate it into your code and you roll on.
You hope for the best.
You hope for the best, with the idea being that, you know, this library was programmed by people who knew what they were doing and they did it.
Hold on. You don't audit every line of code in the library before you incorporate it into your project?
Well, I do.
What?
For all of my apps. My apps contain nothing but bespoke, hand-edited, artisanal code. I'll have you know.
I hope you build your own hardware, too, to run it on.
I do. I craft it out of silicon that I dig
from the beach. That may seem extreme, but look at it a different way. How long after there's an update to that code that you depend on for this e-commerce, how long after there's an update should it be before you notice and implement the patch in this piece of code that is that complicated and important?
Well, usually you
nightly,
don't.
If
I mean,
not.
usually you don't. If you've got a production app that has a library like this in it, unless there is a critical vulnerability like this critical vulnerability discovered, you usually.